All right, and good afternoon and welcome to Saints and Sinners. Your host, Ken Johnston, and my sincere apologies for the delay. Another Wednesday afternoon, and you ever want to make God laugh, just make plans, right? So check the GPS before I left the house, said I'd get here in no time, and sure enough, there's a couple accidents on the Blue Route that held me up. There were no vehicles left by the time we got there, but anyway, we're here now. And I want to praise and thank God for all of our listeners. Thank you so much for all that you do for us here at In His Sign, both your prayerful and financial support that's kept us on the air for some 40 years. And Father McKay and I are part of Our House Ministries, a ministry that works with the addicted and anybody else that comes to us. You can learn more about the ministry at ourhouseministries.org. And unfortunately, or fortunately, depending on how you look at it, Father McKay can't be with us this afternoon. We gave him the afternoon off so he can prepare for a talk he's given out at Christ the King Parish out in the greater Northeast tonight, out near Granton Academy. So if you're in Christ the King Parish or nearby and you want to swing by and hear him live, he will be there for Mass at 7 o'clock and then giving a talk afterwards. Reminder that coming up on Monday, April the 26th, will be our annual golf outing, our biggest fundraiser of the year. And we would love to have you come out and join us. You can get all the information on the flyer on our website at inhissign.com. If you go to the homepage and scroll to the bottom, you can click on the link there. It's always an awesome day. Whether you come out to play golf, come out just for dinner, or if you can't make it at all but can support us by supplying gifts for the silent auction and what have you, we'd certainly appreciate it. We'll give out more information at the top of the hour when we get started with what the world needs now. We'd like to start the show each week with prayer, and we will begin the prayer. I'm going to assume that Maureen kicked us off with the top of the hour, so you've probably already had the prayer, and we'll get right into it. The saints for the fifth week in Lent this week, and there are none, but we do have a solemnity on Thursday. Tomorrow, the 25th, we'll celebrate the Feast of the Annunciation, which makes perfect sense since it's March 25th, and 9 months from tomorrow we will celebrate Christmas. So, again, tomorrow we'll be celebrating the Feast of the Annunciation. So, let's get right to our guest. We were, like I said, we were delayed a little bit. We're about 20 minutes behind, but not a problem. Our guest today is Mr. Vince Yezzi. That's I-E-Z-Z-I. I've got to know Vince probably 9 years ago when he made himself and a few of his fellow Franciscans available from St. John the Evangelist to come down to Grace Ferry and St. Gabriel's Parish to help us start what today is the Matt Talbot Fraternity of the Secular Franciscan Order. We currently have some 28 professed members in our fraternity, and not too bad considering we only started professing folks, I guess, 5 years ago. Father McKay and I celebrated our five-year anniversary on March the 6th this year. Vince, in addition to being a secular Franciscan, has also written a number of books, including one on St. Joseph. So if you'll recall, last week when we had our show with Father McKay, we mentioned that Friday was the Feast of St. Joseph, and that we were going to hold St. Joseph over until this week so we could get Vince on the radio. So, Vince, welcome to the show, buddy. It's great to have you with us.
Well, thank you for having me, Ken.
So, our listeners may or may not recall, we've had Vince on in the past, especially when this idea of St. Joseph came up, and I had mentioned then, and I'll mention it again, that the book he wrote is available on Amazon, and it's called Joseph, the Loving Father. And it's one of the few books that I have ever read in one sitting. Once I started it, I just could not put it down. St. Joseph became one of my heroes a few years back, and I developed a devotion to him. And when I had heard that Vince had written a book, I picked it up, and like I said, I read it in one sitting. And Vince, I think we may have talked about it before, but what gave you the idea to even start the project?
I had been a fan of St. Joseph when maybe around 5, 6, or 7. It was something that was inborn with me. my nonna, my grandmother, who was Italian, would constantly speak of two saints. One was St. Francis, because he was the patron saint of Italy, and St. Joseph. And many a time, if she was ever surprised or shocked, I'd hear, "Oh, Santo Giuseppe, oh, St. Joseph." And it wasn't out of disrespect, it wasn't out of blasphemy or disrespect of his name, but it was actually a prayer, because after she was saved, she would make the sign of the cross. So he became somebody I was always around, familiar with, and as years went on, my devotion to him became stronger, and more research was involved, and I got around to it, and I said, here's my next book, and that was it.
Very good. I know a couple of the other books actually have known in the title, and
the first three, yes,
yep,
were about her. She was a great storyteller. But this one, this book about Joseph,
yep,
it took a lot of research, and it also took a lot of private meditations about Joseph. To me, he is one of the one of many forgotten saints. He's pushed aside. He's almost forgotten. And of late, I became very happy and proud of the fact that his name was added to the canon of the Mass. If I may, just to give you some background to it, because some of the things I'm going to talk about, are, as I said, are private and personal meditations. But recently I came across this quote by St. Jose Maria Escrivá. And this is it, open quote. "The greatest male saint who ever lived was not a deacon, not a priest, not a bishop, not a pope, not a hermit, not a monk. He was a husband, a father, and a worker." Close quote. When you gather that thought and digest it, you cannot help but wonder why this man is glorified, venerated more greatly. And then, you know, if you look at it, he was a sinner, and he was all those things, but in my book I stress the fact that he moved a greater sense of faith than anyone else I could imagine. Mary openly said yes. That was her fiat, and that was beautiful. But Joseph, I found, when I did my research and all my meditations, I found he did more blindfolded. To me, I wait anxiously for the church to declare him the patron saint of laity and the lay people, because this, to me, is what Joseph was. But he is our patron saint.
Yeah.
To anyone who knows anything about writing, you've got to realize that a lot of times an author takes what is called author privileges. He may find four or five or six different avenues that he can travel, but he may pick the one that is the most exciting, the most dramatic, and that's what I did in my book. Because I mentioned one particular thing that gets a lot of people a little bit out of whack, and that is the fact that Joseph may have been, I'm not saying he was, may have been married prior to marriage to Mary. And a lot of people say to me, but Joseph is chaste. Well, a man could be married and still be chaste. He still can hold his chastity in reserve and do what God has willed him to do, become a father or a husband.
And yet many of our priests do that, right, Vince? They don't have physical children, biological children, but they have many children. And as hard as many find it, they find it hard to believe that a man can actually live out his life without having to have sex to remain chaste. Some find it nearly impossible, and yet so many of our good priests do that.
Of course,
yes. Yeah.
Many of them do, and admirably, yes.
So, listen, I know we just got started, but we're already where we normally take a break, and we're just going to take a couple of minutes. For our listeners, again, our apologies for getting a late start. When we get back, we will we'll spend the whole second segment talking about St. Joseph. Don't go away. We'll be right back.
This is Dr. Carol Houghton of the Diocese of Harrisburg. I have been blessed in many ways by Kathleen McCarthy's retreats, days of reflection, preaching, and teaching, especially on In His Sign Catholic Radio. When Kathleen teaches from the scripture and shares with us her personal stories, I am deeply touched and inspired. It is as if God is speaking directly from her heart to my heart. And when Kathleen reads from her books, In the Silence of My Heart, she shares with us what God has spoken to her, an intimate message of unconditional love and mercy. God has blessed Kathleen with many gifts, which she readily shares with others, by doing every day what the Lord has asked of her. And by the example of her yes to God, we too are encouraged to give our yes to God. For Kathleen's daily and public witness to the gospel, I will be forever grateful. For it is by this example that she challenges me to become a better disciple of the Lord.
You're listening to In His Sign Catholic Radio, empowered by the Holy Spirit, bringing the fire of God's love to the world. We often think of the scripture where the disciples were walking to Emmaus, where they said, "Were not our hearts burning within us as Jesus spoke to us on the road?" As we travel along the road together in our Archdiocese of Philadelphia and Camden Diocese, we thank God for our loyal circle of family and friends. Please consider sponsoring one of our new programs in the name of your parish priest, family member, or friend. It would be a beautiful way of helping us to proclaim the gospel of Jesus Christ, our risen Lord. Give us a call at 610-527-2906 or visit us on the web at inhissign.com.
And welcome back to Saints and Sinners. Again, your host, Ken Johnston. And I have on the line today my good friend, Vince Yetzi. We started talking about the book he wrote about St. Joseph called St. Joseph Was a Loving Father, available at Amazon.com. And we started talking about why Vince wrote the book. And one of the great things about it for me was that so little is found in Scripture about St. Joseph. I know that there's some that can be found in some of the other books that didn't make it into the Bible, into the canon of the Bible, that you eventually went to confirm or for reference, Vince. But the story that you put together is absolutely believable. And as I was going through the book, I could picture myself being there with the Holy Family through everything that went on, and really looking at it through St. Joseph's eyes. So often, because of the Rosary and Scripture, we have an idea perhaps from Jesus's point of view, or even the Blessed Mother's point of view. But to see all this through St. Joseph's eyes and the struggles that he faced, and his constant yes. From the time he learned that Mary was pregnant, and I'm sure until his death, the constant yes that he gave to God in all the things that he was called to do.
The thing that hit me at a very young age was that Mary was told, "You will conceive the Son of God." But Joseph wasn't told that. If you read the Scriptures, he's not told. He's just told, take Mary as your spouse, for that which she has been conceived by the Holy Spirit. But that conception doesn't mean that he who was conceived was the Son of God. It just says he was conceived by God. And when I went through my research, and I was reading everything, it came to be that I saw that Joseph saw Christ as a rabbi, prophet, as a king. And each of these things took place, if you go through his time in the Scriptures. And then finally, I got to the point where I said somewhere along the way he had to know, find out that what exactly Jesus was. And it was then I created a situation where Mary says to him, "Hey, Joe, let's sit down and talk and tell me. What did your angel tell you?" Because Joseph assuredly told Mary about his angel. And when he told her, she said, "Well, then you never really found out." And then she tells him what she heard in her angel's voice. And that's when he found out that Christ was the Son of God. Then came to me, how did he approach it? When he looked at Jesus the next day, the next hour from that revelation, what did he think of? Here he was looking at the Son of God. His heart, the fear. I could not imagine. I remember stopping many times in my house, my heart palpitating, the beating rough, hard and rough against my chest. Is that feeling that Joseph must have had. But also, when I went through my research, I came across so many things. Like, for example, something I never even realized was that Joseph was the champion and the protector of baptized babies. I read that and I said to myself, now where in the name of God would that come from? And then when I would research further, I was given the idea of, if you go into his silent life, you come to think of Joseph as the champion and the protector of Jesus and Mary. And then the church turns around and says, well, then he's also the champion of the baptized child. That jump over may seem hard to understand, but when you look at it, he then looks at Joseph as then visioned as being the father to the adopted brothers and sisters of Jesus, who are you and I. That hit me, and I thought about that for so long, and then I finally said to myself, you know, that makes a great deal of sense. So Joseph, in the eyes of the church, is often regarded as the protector and champion of the baptized. If you go into Scripture, you never hear a word from Joseph. Not a word. You hear a few words from Mary, but nothing at all from Joseph at all.
Yeah, no.
But if you look at his life as an example, my God, the man is everything that we should be. He took Mary into his home. A man, husband takes his wife the same way. He fulfills his civic duty. Go to Bethlehem and be registered for the census, and he fulfilled his civic duties. Get up and get gone. Get away, because Herod wants to kill the child. And there he is, overprotective and safeguards, and does everything that a father should do. When you look at those things, you say to yourself, he's the perfect example of being a father. And I read a prayer in my research, and I can't for the love of me remember who said it, but I memorized the prayer. And it goes, Joseph was a life hidden with Mary in Christ for the Father. That is deep. That is beautiful. But then he is, if Jesus gave us Mary at the foot of the cross, he willingly before that gave Joseph to us as our fathers. I remind people that before Christ used the word Abba in the scriptures, when he speaks of his heavenly father, he undoubtedly called Joseph Abba. When we look at Joseph walking about and doing things, and maybe, and I'm not certain, but maybe he was saying, gee, I was unkind to this person, I was unkind to that person, and Christ just walking over to him and touching his back and saying, it's okay, Abba, you're forgiven. Open confession. That all these things go through my mind when I got around to thinking of Joseph and what he had to do and what he was. It's more than anything that I could possibly be, but I can also say he is something I would love to be.
Yeah, and Vince, as you mentioned, there's nothing in Scripture of anything that he says. Primarily, I guess we get the his ancestry, so that we can, of course, tie him back to David and Bethlehem, because that's where the Savior was supposed to come from, and you know, not much else. And so, the story that you were able to put together, like you said, meditation through your meditation, and again confirmed through research, perhaps books other than what's in the canon of the Bible. But it does. It brings it's so alive. And when you think about the things that Joseph would have had to do, it wouldn't be that much of a stretch to see everything that you've written in the book. So a lot of it, I guess, is insinuated with the flight to Egypt. And, you know, I often think, you know, if I had a dream or an angel that came to me in the middle of the night and told me that I had to get Sue and the kids and get in a car and go to Mexico or Nicaragua, you know, would I, or even if it was just to another state, would I, you know, would I listen to that voice, and what would they say when I told them we had to do it? Would they listen to me? Probably not. Maybe half the kids would go, the other half would insist on staying. And so the fact that Joseph, you know, gets the message and once again says, you know, whether he had doubts or not, he gives his yes and says, yeah, we'll do it. And then, you know, packs up Mary and Jesus and heads to Egypt. And again, trusting that God knew what he was doing when he was asking him to make the move. And again, not a nothing attributed to him in that story in Scripture. And yet it wouldn't have happened without him.
And primarily, too, paramount in his thoughts at that moment was not himself, but the child, because he was told the child is in danger to get moving. But, you know, in the book also, I have him face-to-face with the three magi and what he had to think when he saw these people. And they come forward and look at him, and they said, we're looking for the king of the Jews. And Joseph had to say, not my, not you kidding, not this guy. But yet, when it hits him, then he, in my mind, he deduced that Jesus not going to be a rabbi or prophet. He's going to be the king of the Jews, another David. And being of the house of David, I'm certain Joseph found that might quite comfortable and comparable. And when I think of all these things, and I got around to writing, it just flowed out. I had one difficult moment, though. I didn't know how I was going to put Christ meeting Joseph again in paradise. I must have spent at least a month and a half in deep prayer on that. And I'm saying, Lord, help me find something. Help me find something. And this one night in total frustration, I said, Lord, I guess I can't find a good story to put this. I'm going to have to create something stupid. Lo and behold, I have a dream. And in my dream, I present exactly in the book the way the dream was. Christ walking into a room, and he walks by Jacob, Abraham, Moses, and Isaiah, and Ezekiel, and all the prophets, and all the kings, King David, all the kings of Israel. And he walks all the way to the back of the room, where I would expect to find Joe, because Joe is of the humblest of all men. He stood always in the background. And he walks to Joseph. And to say, here I am in all my glory. And the first thing in my dream, what came out, and I'm filling up when I'm saying this, because when I woke up, I cried. Joseph looks at him and says, how's your mother? And that, to me, was exactly what Joe was. He was the protector of the first tabernacle. He was the director of the Son of God. And I'm certain he never looked down at Christ. I think he always got down on his knees so that he would be eye level with him, because he could never picture himself looking down at the Lord. This is the way Joseph is the epitome of humility, the epitome of faithfulness. He moved through the Gospels and through his life with Jesus and Mary quietly, humbly, and with faith, with really not knowing where he was going, what was his part in all this, until someday either Mary or the Holy Spirit came to him and made him realize you are the protector of the Son of God. What a terrifying moment that must have been.
I can only imagine, Vince, because I know it, and I'm sure you do as a father and a grandfather, and the roles that we're given, especially as protectors of our own family, and to find out that your child would be the Son of God. You know, it's like you put an extra seatbelt in the car. You never let him cross the street by himself. All the things that you feel like you'd need to do in order to protect what, in theory, and I'm sure Joseph as a devout Jew would, who's waiting for the Savior to come, waiting for the Messiah, and then to find out that your son is him. It had to be overwhelming, but again, I guess he was given the grace to be able to fulfill that role. That I'm sure that there were probably things that happened in his life up to that point that allowed him to take on that role. And that when it came, somehow or other, he was given the grace to believe it and accept it. I think if I got that message, I'd have a hard time believing it. And then,
agree.
But I think, like everything else in life, that we're given the grace ahead of time for making decisions and accepting responsibilities and doing those things. When I look back over my own life, the grace to be able to handle those situations always came before the situation itself. And yes, I think the same thing had to happen with Joseph.
Yeah, I don't doubt. I'm certain there were moments of terror in his heart and in his mind. And there were moments that he had to say, well, I don't know what I'm doing, what's going on, why am I doing this? You know, mm-hmm. I shouldn't say that. That's incorrect. I'm certain he may have said to himself, what part am I in all this? Mm. After his revelation that Jesus was his Son of God, he had to say, why me? Why me? I don't know if Mary ever said that. I don't know if she ever asked. She did say, how is this to be? And she showed doubts. But Joseph never showed doubts. That's the other thing. Mary showed doubts when she was told. Joseph just did. Mm-hmm. He didn't hesitate. He didn't say, oh, no, I don't know. I got to think this out. He just did it.
So one of those fearful times must have been when they lose Jesus, right? And they're traveling back from Jerusalem and realize that he's not with the caravan. I can only imagine what went through Joseph's mind then.
May I interject something here?
Yeah.
At that moment in my book, Joseph doesn't know. He doesn't realize until he gets to the temple, and Jesus said, it's about my father's business. And Joseph says, what the heck is he talking about? You know, I'm a carpenter. What's he talking about? And that's when Mary, in my meditation and my thinking, Mary looked at him and said, oh, you don't know what's going on. And that's when she approached him and said, well, I know you had an angel visit. What did the angel say? To me, this is in my own personal meditations, my own thought. We say that Mary was not did not commit sin. But in my mind, Mary knew what it was like to be without God. And that was her moment. When Jesus was lost, she knew she had lost the Son of God. And she was without a God or her God, or put it any other way. I don't know how else to say it. And for that moment, Mary became like us totally. But then she knew what sin was like on a soul. I repeat, this is my own thinking.
Sure.
My own meditation. But when I realized that in my meditation on the finding of Jesus in the temple, that Joseph didn't know what was going on, and Christ made it obvious that he wasn't his father. He was his earthly father. Mary, all that time, those 3 days, was without God, so to speak. She had lost God. And she must have been terrorized herself, realizing I've been given the Son of God to take care of, mm-hmm. and here I lose him. God knows what was going through her mind at that moment. But that's my own feelings. Please do not carry out to any priest or bishop. I'm certain they'll excommunicate me, maybe.
Yeah, well, they can't prove it one way or the other, Vince, right?
Yeah.
I guess we'll find out when we finally get
True.
To meet Joseph in heaven. But
True.
But as you say, and you put that right up front in the beginning of the book, that this is your own interpretation
own
of
feelings.
Yeah, of what came to you in prayer. And
we were at a gathering of the Franciscans on Saturday.
Yep.
And after we went through this whole, and the theme of the gathering was Joseph, and it was well done, and thanks to Tom Dillon, our brother, everything was going fine, and they came to Joseph, and we started discussing and talking, and the final resolve was, and I sat back and I laughed, and I said, Vince, all your words are washed down the drain on that. We will never, like you just said, Ken, we'll never know until we get to heaven. And won't I be surprised if, by the grace of God, I hit the nail on the head, or by the grace of God, I missed the head and hit my thumb, whatever it may be. We will find it out in heaven. I always jokingly said the good Lord would put me in the outhouse because I have 1,000,001 questions and he hasn't got time to answer them all. And throw me out there so that I won't bother him too much.
Yeah, no, I think that that's one of the things I look forward to Hopefully one day it's when we get to meet God face to face, and all the saints that we've had a devotion to, and especially Saint Joseph, to get some answers to some of those questions. Because I like coming up as a kid, I really didn't have a devotion to Saint Joseph. As a husband and a worker, he is definitely somebody to emulate, and you know, I keep a statue of Saint Joseph on my bureau at home, and when I get ready for work in the morning, it reminds me of Saint Joseph the worker, and when I come home and take off the work duds and get ready to relax, it reminds me of, you know, I'm Saint Joseph, that I'm now the father, in a father role. And there's so many roles that we as males can identify with Saint Joseph. And then to have Pope Francis turn around and make this the year of Saint Joseph, and it was through Father Calloway's book that you know, we look back, I guess especially the last 150 years, and how a lot of things in our church has just pointed to this time as being the time of Saint Joseph.
Amen.
You know.
Yeah, I'm so happy about this.
Yeah,
I really am.
Yeah.
And I've doubled up on my prayers to him, because I want to join the church in honor to him, and also to try to make it known. He may not have spoken in the scriptures. This is another thing that came to me. But his life, his example in itself, was the greatest statement he could have made. Speak of the hidden life of Christ. Joseph's entire life in the scriptures is hidden.
Mm.
And I'd say actions speak louder than words. Here is a prime example of it. Just by doing what he was asked and told to do, he did it. And this, to me, makes him the hero of all faithful.
Yeah. Yeah, from our Franciscan perspective, too, that, you know, Francis's line, preach the gospel often and sometimes use words.
Words, yes.
Yeah. And,
it's perfect. In fact, that's when I think I realized that after I had read those words by Francis. By Francis, that's when I think it dawned on me about Joseph, that his entire life in scriptures is hidden, but it was by example. That was his word. Those were his words.
Very good. We just got, have about a minute left, Vince. So any final words on Saint Joseph before we go?
No, other than I hope and pray that all of you are taking advantage of all the prayers that are flying around. And I will pray for all of you and wish that Joseph makes himself more known to you, and also that you find the beauty and the magnificence that I have found in this hidden man's life. And I thank you, Ken, for having me. May you all be blessed with God's blessings.
Amen. Thank you, Vince. Thanks so much for taking time. And we certainly appreciate it. Again, our guest has been Vincent Yetzi, I-E-Z-Z-I. And the book he's written about Joseph is entitled Joseph Was a Loving Father. You can get it on Amazon.com. Anywhere else they can pick it up, Vince, or is that the best place to get it?
Barnes & Noble probably will have it.
Yep.
If you got Kindle or Nook, you can get it from them also.
Right. Yeah, I got the Kindle version, so... that's where you can pick it up, if especially in this year, St. Joseph, it'd be a great time to get a copy and get to know Joseph a little bit better. So thanks again, Vince. I appreciate it, pal. We'll talk soon.
Take care. God bless.
All right. God bless you. Yep, bye. You too. Bye-bye now. So as I mentioned, I got to know Vince probably about 9 years ago when we got the Franciscan fraternity started down in Grays Ferry. And... you know, just a great guy. I think he's close to 40 years of Franciscan, and so much that he's done for me, especially as a mentor in terms of being the minister of a fraternity and how a fraternity works. I can't thank him enough for that. He's also really involved in Our House Ministries. He serves on the board there as well. So our paths cross in a number of ways, different times each month. So. It's great to have guys like Vince in my life. He's definitely had an impact over the years. So we're approaching the top of the hour, and I can't thank you enough for being with us today. Just remember, we're always here Monday through Friday, 4 to 6 p.m. on 800 a.m. and over our website at inhissign.com. When we come back, I believe our guest may already be on the line. We'll be joined by Susan Tassone with our latest devotional book for Lent. Don't go away. We'll be right back.